Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
For those of you hanging out in here, I want you to pull out your calendar. Now, some of you, that might be your phone. Some of you, that might be an old school pen and paper. Either way, I need you to go ahead and get your calendar out and mark down another date. February 9th, here in just a couple weeks, we're going to have our Super Bowl celebration. Now, you're thinking, is it the Commanders? I see you back there, Steve. He's really hopeful that the Commanders are going to have something to celebrate that day. I'm not getting in that because there's going to be a Chiefs fan here that wants to fight, but we're going to celebrate. It's hard to believe we've been here gathered for 4 years now. And so we're going to celebrate together. We're going to share some stories during the service. And then after second service, we're going to gather and celebrate in the back. Bring a crock pot of soup or a creation that you have that fits in a crock pot or that motif, and bring that and come and just join us for a meal together. We'll get you out of here. Just consider it your pregame, okay? It's worth joining together and celebrating. So that is February the 9th here in just a couple weeks. Mark that on your calendar and plan to attend. And I just want to take one other moment, and I had a note here. There will be cake. Some of you were like hanging on for dessert. There will be cake if you don't want to miss that, a few of you. I just want to just take a minute to acknowledge what's happening in the life of our country this week, in that we transition leadership. And I know that some, that's an exciting time as we look ahead, and others, that causes mixed emotions that might even bring up fear. And so we're just going to pause here today at the gathered body of believers, the church, and we're going to seek the Lord in his favor and his face in this season. And just be reminded that we first are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that Jesus is our first allegiance. And so would you join me in prayer this morning as we pause for just a moment? Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, that our citizenship first belongs to you. And Lord, that our allegiance to you affects every other decision, every other thing that we have in our life. And Lord, may that be true of how we engage with our neighbor, Lord, in this season. Whether excited or fearful, God, our hope is in you, Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, may we be your ambassadors in our time, in our circle of influence, to point people to a greater kingdom than the one that we see here, the kingdom of heaven. Lord, thank you for that opportunity, for that awareness, and call us ever closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to continue in our Healthy Me teaching series. If you've been following along, you know that we've introduced these teaching topics with a number of unique ways. We began first looking at the star of Castaway, and that is, of course, Wilson, as he teaches us the impact of loneliness. We looked at Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh to help us to see a life impacted or lived with depression. And last week, Pastor Billy showed us a t-shirt that reminded us of an all too common feeling. What a long year this week has been. If all of this sounds a little strange, that's okay. I would invite you to go back and listen in to these messages. They're available on our website. We can help you at Next Steps if you need to get connected there. Today, on your way in, I hope you were able to grab our introduction to this week's topic. Did everybody get a Snickers that wanted one on the way in this morning? Did anybody not get one and you feel left out? Just raise your hand. I got a whole bucket. All right. I don't want to hear anybody left out. So you got a Snickers bar on the way in. I know it's early. This is first service. But I want to ask you, what is today's topic introduced by Snickers? And no, it's not temptation. So what is it? Come on, just give me an idea. Hunger? Close. Anger. Yeah. What's a Snickers have to do with anger? Well, hangry. You got it. One of the most successful candy ad campaigns in our generation plays off the human emotion of anger. Let's watch.
So you guys grew up together?
Yeah, since third grade. What are you looking at?
I'm not looking at anything.
We're not good enough for you. You look for something else?
No, I don't know.
What are you, big supermodels?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Supermodels. What are you, model gloves? What are you doing? The girl's totally into me.
Brad, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you get a little angry when you're hungry. Better?
Better. So, ladies.
So, losers.
Stacy, relax.
I'm sorry.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
All right. Confession. Who gets a little hangry? All right. I don't know anything about that. Anything at all. If someone next to you raised their hand, you might go ahead and consider giving them your Snickers. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism. It could relate to threatening or violent appearance or state. You may be surprised to hear this morning that anger is actually a God-given emotion. It's part of our fight or flight response system that in nature would help us avoid danger, and it compels us to action at injustice. But the reality for most of us is that we often misuse anger. We might describe our relationship with anger by sayings like a short fuse. Someone might say that you have a temper or you're hot-headed. We have all kinds of names for anger. That's why when God gave us anger, he also gave instructions and a warning about its use. So just like the Surgeon General would warn you about the effects of tobacco or the coffee cup at McDonald's says, caution, hot liquids, the Bible warns us about anger. James 1, 19 and 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I think if anger was going to have a literal warning label, it would look something like this. And it says, read and fully understand operator's manual before using this emotion. Failure to follow operating instructions could result in death or serious injury. That's basically the Bible's message of anger in one sentence or one warning. And so can I ask you today, how's your relationship with anger? Have you read the operator's manual? Are you following its instructions? The reality is that failure to follow the biblical approach to anger could result in serious injury to people around you, to yourself, even to death. And look, I understand this might seem a strange topic for a teaching series on mental health, but the truth is, if we are pursuing wholeness and healing in Christ, we must, I repeat, we must address anger. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, you've given us an instruction book and warnings as you've given us the emotion of anger. So Lord, I pray that we could have an honest conversation today, an honest conversation with your Spirit about the place anger has in our life. Because it's in black and white, clear as day, human anger does not produce the life that you desire of us. And I would dare say that you require of us as your people. So Lord, will you search us today, penetrate our heart, show us, show me our relationship with anger. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're concluding our four-part teaching series, Healthy Me, and this series is all about bringing hope to those of us who sometimes struggle with mental health. It's not been about quick fixes. It's not another person from the church saying, oh, just have more faith and it'll all go away, or just pray a little harder and it'll just disappear. This is really a compassionate invitation to a journey seeking wholeness and healing in Christ, a biblical approach to a healthy me. And today we're going to conclude talking about anger. And before we dive into the instruction manual on anger today, I want to look at one more clip that I think helps us get at what anger might look like or feel like on the inside. If we're to look at Snickers and the idea of being hangry as how it manifests outside, this clip will help us get a feel of what's going on inside with anger. Let's watch.
Ever wonder why you feel the way you do? Well, get to know your emotions. When things go wrong, anger is there. This is anger. He will make sure the world knows anger is in control. But what you really need to watch out for is when he's out of control. Get to know all your emotions with Disney Pixar's Inside Out, rated PG.
Anger. This clip is from the movie called Inside Out, and what it's doing is attempting to put characterizations to our emotions at the controls of our body and our mind. And of course, anger is the little red guy. He's often in the movie sitting off to the side until something happens. That something might be the Tower of Cards falling for this little girl, or in real life, that something might be someone cutting you off in traffic. Someone left you out. They didn't call you. You encountered offense, and anger steps in, takes over the controls. And it could be something, even the loss of a pet or a loved one, and anger emerges. Whatever causes our anger, it has the tendency to take control, to take over. It might take control of the moment. It might take control of the day or the week, or it might even take control of years. You see, it grabs onto the controls and things go from 0 to 100. You might raise your voice, resort to yelling or screaming or using foul language. Anger may cause you to give expression in physical aggression. Begin to break things or kick or punch, grind your teeth. Anger at the controls. Anger might live below the surface in a silent resentment of seething hatred towards someone. We might just harbor bitterness quietly below the surface. Unforgiveness taking root. As we begin to explore anger, it's not hard to see why this emotion comes with a warning label. I dare say many of you already know the danger in anger. As we turn to the instruction manual today, God's Word, our teaching text is found in Ephesians 4. I'd invite you to turn there with me today. Within this chapter, the Apostle Paul is calling Christians in Ephesus. He's giving instruction. He's inviting them. He's teaching them how to live out their faith in Jesus in very practical ways and how that looks Monday through Saturday. He's calling them, and he's using the analogy of taking off the old way of life, like we would take off a set of dirty clothes when we came back in from being outside or doing something. Like a dirty pair of clothes, we take that old life off and we are to put on new clothing of righteousness in Christ. And so as we dive into our text, Paul is getting at some of these essential instructions for living out our faith, living out the life of Christ. Beginning at verse 25, he says, "Therefore, as we seek to live out a life of righteousness and holiness and purity, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Verse 26, he says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Verse 28, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need." Paul here, as he's beginning this section, he starts out by saying that to live out this life of Christ, we need to put away falsehood or lying. We must be truthful with one another. And he goes on to mention that as Christians, we shouldn't be stealing. We should be working hard, investing, so we have something to give to others. And, like, there's nothing too controversial in that. I don't think anybody wants to pick an argument over the fact that this is basic ethics, basic Christian ethics. And it's really fascinating to me that in the midst of lying and stealing, not having a place in the life of a Christian, Paul addresses anger. I say that's fascinating because I think, if we were honest, I don't know that we would put anger on the same list with lying and stealing. Would we? Like, something within us wants to say, oh, come on, Pastor. Really? Is anger really in the same league as lying and stealing? Man, Paul says it is. So I think we have a tendency to excuse it, to deny it, attempt to justify it in our lives. Paul says, look, how you handle your anger is a critical part of your life in Christ. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And look, I think we need to read carefully here. I know I need to. I think it's easy to read this and say, well, he's given us permission to be angry. Slow down for a second. Commentator Andrew Lincoln paraphrases this verse by saying, anger is to be avoided at all costs. But if, for whatever reason, you do get angry, then refuse to indulge such anger so that you do not sin. You see, this is not permission for anger. This is a concession. It's a concession. The warning instructions for us is that we're not to allow anger to overtake the controls of our lives. Not to have control of our emotions, our reactions, our thoughts. Don't give in to that desire to react and retaliate. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why not? Man, verse 27 tells us anger in our lives gives the devil a foothold. That idea of a foothold there is pretty interesting in the original language. Because I think about foothold like a rock climber, right? They're scaling the climb of a mountain and they have their toe on this itty-bitty little crevice of a rock, like foothold. Or you might think of trying to put your foot in the door to keep it from closing to allow someone to go in or out. Like, that's where my mind goes with foothold. But the word here, the imagery that is behind foothold is really that of giving room. Giving room. Giving space. So work with me here. Just imagine for a second, you're at your home, and a knock comes at the front door. Your Ring doorbell's not working for whatever reason that day, so you got to actually go see who it is. So you make your way to the front door, you open it, and lo and behold, there stands the devil himself. You're like, whoa. Hey, can I come in? What are you going to say? Some of you are going to be like, honey, it's for you. We'll pray for you after service. No, you wouldn't let him in. If Satan himself is at your front door and you open and he's standing there, you're going to slam the door in his face. But this idea of foothold, if we allow anger to be in our life uncontrolled and we don't recognize it, what we're doing is inviting him right into our home. And we make space for him. And friends, we give him a vantage point, a leverage point to wage hell in our life. That's anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. I wasn't kidding when I said the Bible gives us warnings about anger. It's real. Because, friends, the reality is death and serious injury are the devil's specialty. Don't let him take up residence in the room of your heart and your life. Friends, that's why when anger comes up, we need to use extreme caution. Just a few verses later in chapter 4 at verse 31, Paul he circles back to this topic of anger. He covers a couple more things there, but he comes back. Verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness is anger internalized. get rid of all rage, which is anger vented. Get rid of all anger, brawling, and slander. That's anger expressed, spewing onto others. Along with every form of malice, he says, get rid of all. Get rid of all. And in place of that, verse 32, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Get rid of all of it. Replace it with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Friends, if we're going to pursue wholeness and healing in Christ, if we're going to live a life that honors God, we got to take anger seriously. We can't give it a free pass in our life. Before we move on to talk about some practical ways to work through anger, to deal with that, I want to address a question that I had to wrestle through this week, and I imagine some of you might be wondering too. And that question might go something like this. Well, pastors, we're talking about anger, and I hear the warnings and the instructions, but doesn't God get angry? Right? You ever think about that? Like, if our anger is such a big deal, why is it okay for God to be angry? It's a great question. Because any tour through the scriptures, it won't take you long to find examples of God's anger. I mean, if we look at the life of Jesus, he exhibits anger in overturning the tables of the money changers and the retailers in the temple. And here's the thing. God's anger is not human anger. He's perfect in all of his ways. God's anger is focused at injustice and sin in the world. And it serves a cleansing and a redemptive purpose. God's anger is a righteous anger. And I want to be clear, we too can experience righteous anger. We might be angered that we see children waiting for the bus in single digits that don't have a coat. And so we leverage our lives to invest, to start a coat drive, to work, to remedy what we see. We might be angered that people go to bed hungry in our community, so we leverage our lives to help EAUS and serve to meet those needs. That's righteous anger. But the anger that doesn't honor God, that doesn't please him, is human anger that is serving our purposes. It's responding out of an injustice we perceive happened to us. And friends, I think that's really where we begin to clash with anger, and how we most often use that emotion is to justify us, to make ourselves feel better. Our desire for retaliation or vengeance or venting. Human anger's not redemptive. And in reality, it's often destructive. And friends, that's the sin Paul's telling us to avoid. Human anger. So what does a journey look like in dealing with anger? How do we begin to take seriously the warning and the instructions that the Scripture gives us? At the risk of sounding too simplistic or too simple today, I would suggest that we need to act. We need to act. If you've been following along, you know we've tried to close each message with some practical tools, some takeaways, some thoughts to carry into the week in prayer and devotion with the Lord to work through these things. And we've used acrostics as a way to remember them, and I promise I won't do that forever. But one final acrostic would be the word ACT, A-C-T. How do we begin to seek wholeness and healing in the area of anger? We act. First, that A is awareness. And I got good news for you. We already got a head start on this one. We've been talking about it today, right? We've already been talking about it, but the pathway to a healthy me in the area of anger begins with awareness, taking an honest look at the impact of anger and the place it has in our life. In my own journey with anger, the Lord's used a pretty specific set of tools to help me realize this. And I literally mean a set of tools. I came in the building today carrying this and an AED. I was like, we're prepared for anything. I've not had a great relationship with anger in my life. It's accounted for some of my less than finer moments. And that was true even after I came back to the Lord. I was aware of my anger. You're usually aware of when you're mad. But I mean, not aware. Aware of the impact. Aware of the place it has in your life. I wasn't. I'd been working on my truck. We lived in Singer's Glen. Had a shop up removed from the house. And I don't remember what I was doing. Changing the oil, rotating the tires, something. But I had this tool kit out. And I got done. I set this on the tailgate. And I was pulling back down to the house from the shop. And that's when I heard it. The sound of this hitting the ground. All 167 pieces of it. Boof! The unmistakable sound of this tool kit hitting the ground. Sockets, ratchets, pliers, everything. Well, you might imagine this. Right? That's my result, my response. Throw it in park, throw the door open. This guy, you know, he's getting his hands on the controls. But that's when I saw it. Something that's made me aware of anger that made me then and even now in a way I'd never considered before. And what I saw was not 167 pieces on the ground. What I saw was the look of fear in my wife's face. Of what I was going to do. And I watched her so timidly go and start picking up things without saying a word. Awareness of the relationship and impact anger was having in my life. I asked her and she said, I don't remember that. Thank you, Jesus, because I've never forgotten it. I wish I could tell you in that moment with one toolkit falling off a tailgate of a truck that did it for me, that it was fixed instantly. I'm sure it wasn't. But that began a journey for me of awareness. And friends, if we're going to take it seriously, we need the Lord to help us be aware of anger in our life. Awareness. And as he shows us, as that toolkit rolls off the truck, we got to check into it. We got to check into it. The Lord is faithful to make us aware of our anger. He's going to answer that prayer. Check into it when he shows you. How many of you would recognize this picture? What is it? Some of you are like, how'd you get in my car? It's a check engine light. I read this week in preparation and study for anger. Anger is like a check engine light on the dash of our car. It's an indicator that something else is going on under the hood. Anger. When we become aware of our anger, we need to check into it. Stop giving it a free pass in our life. Writing it off as just, that's who I am, that's how I am. I just got a temper. God's saying, no, 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 no. Get into it. Check your anger for sin. Check into it. Why do I feel this way? What's going on? Is the issue really the issue here? Is my response to these feelings, am I trying to punch somebody else in the nose right now? Whether by physical force or with my words? Am I trying to inflict pain because they hurt me first? What's really going on? Am I trying to justify myself? Am I trying to empower my position because I know I'm right? What's going on? Check into it. And if you need help with this, ask someone close to you. That gets vulnerable, right? Ask someone you're in relationship with, how's my anger? Because I guarantee you they have an honest look at it because they see it. If you need help checking into it, ask someone close to you. My wife heard we were speaking about anger today, and she said, oh, something in your wheelhouse. Ha, ha, ha. Be aware of your anger. Check into it. And friends, that's going to begin to open the door to healing. Because as long as we just let it have its way, it's going to keep going. But when we commit to check into it, we're slowing it down. We're popping the hood. We're taking a spirit-led journey to find out what in the world is going on here. Why is this happening? And that allows us to respond differently. Hey, a response might be justified, but there's a way in which we can go about it that makes way for healing and redemption. Be aware, check into it, and finally, do it today. Do it today. We must take action to deal with our anger today. Ephesians 4:26, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Maybe you've heard the saying before, don't ever go to bed angry. That's this idea. Whether that time limit in the scriptures was literal or a figure of speech, the message is clear. Do not let anger hang around. Don't let it reside unaddressed and unattended to. Friends, not to mention all the damage that anger can do to those around us, it has an impact on our health as well. It's an increased risk of heart attack. It disrupts our digestive tract. It messes with our thinking patterns. And ultimately, it's going to leave us bitter and hostile and cynical. And don't forget the warning that Paul gave us. If we hang on to anger, if we allow it to reside in our life, we are giving the devil free room and board in our life. A free spot that he can wage hell on your life. Deal with it today. Today. I love that warning label. I really thought about just putting that up and praying. Read and fully understand the manual before using this emotion. Failure to follow operating instructions for anger could result in death or serious injury. You know, at the end of the day, friends, we have a choice with anger. We might not be able to choose how it enters our story, but we do have a choice and, yes, a responsibility in how we handle it, what we do with it. We have a choice. We can surrender to it, and we can allow Red Man to take over the controls, right? Or we can surrender our anger and make space for God's healing. What's it going to be? Would you stand with me today? If you ate your Snickers, it's okay. I'm not judging you, but you do need it. This message needed a response. And that's what your Snickers is for. And at the risk of making someone really angry, I'm going to ask you to lay your Snickers down. So what on earth are you talking about? We have a choice in anger. We can surrender to it and allow the Red Man with flaming inferno head to run our life. Give the devil free room and board. Or we can take seriously the Bible's instructions and warnings about anger. And we can surrender it. And so today, as the band plays, and we're going to pray here in just a moment, if you need to surrender your anger today, I'm just going to invite you to take your little Snickers and come up here and lay it before the cross as a way of saying, yep, Lord, I got to deal with this thing. I got to deal with it. So if that's you today here in just a moment, bring your Snickers up to the front. Some of you are like, Pastor, you're really pressing it. I understand. Would you take that step of faith today? Be transparent. Be honest with the people that are around you saying, I see this and I got to deal with it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for the warning label for anger. God, you were faithful not to give us an emotion without also giving us instructions and warning for its use. And Lord, the last one that should be talking about anger today. But Lord, if we'll bring it to you, you will help us. Lord, that's what we need. We want to be like you, Lord. And Lord, you've given us the capacity for righteous anger, but Lord, so many times we misuse it. Lord, we want to be like you. So Lord, will you purify us? Purify our anger, Lord. Bring healing in this place, in our lives. We're desperate for you, Lord. In our anger, bring healing. Bring restoration to those we've hurt. Forgive us. Forgive us. If you need to lay your anger down, I would invite you to just come and do that now as we pray. And Pastor Terry's in the back. I'd be glad to pray with you up here up front. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. Surrender your anger.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.